The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And I wanted to start off today because what made me think about this was just how many physicians, you know, practice medicine in the same old way. Despite the increasing demand by patients, I think there's an increasing demand. I could be wrong. That is a demand to keep them healthy and not just rely upon drugs for every little problem they have. And then, you know, more and more doctors are trying to implement this approach to health care in their practices. And I was just wondering, are the two approaches compatible, or are they maybe they don't mix like oil and water? I'm not sure. I know the answer to that. But I want to discuss a little bit about the history of healthcare, the way it's practiced in this country. And it really dates back to the early 1900s. Now, prior to that time, healthcare really wasn't organized like it is today. You know, you had healthcare practitioners of various approaches, but no real big organizations backing any one approach. And that is until Abraham Flexner, backed by the Rockefeller and Carnegie people, sent him around to organize what has come to be mainstream medicine. And the purpose of that organization was to sell drugs. Now, another way of saying that is the purpose of organizing medicine was to treat illness and discarded the notion of preventing illness. And I'm not sure where the mindset was back in those days from healthcare providers, but I'm certainly sure that among the rest of the population, I think everybody would prefer to do their best to stay healthy rather than try to restore their health after they get sick. However, I think back then they didn't know as much about the causes of illness that we do today. But on the other hand, Janet, they didn't have so many factors in the environment and in the food supply to worry about that we have today. You know, back then, I think go ahead, Janet.
Dr. Slavin, I think that they had different issues to worry about. And so it had to do with preserving food so they didn't deteriorate and no longer be able to be used. They had to be concerned about sanitation. They had to be concerned about infectious disease. So we have to be concerned about chemicals. They had different things that were assaults to their immune function.
That is true. I think they even had to be concerned about having enough food. You know, that they could store enough. They had to be concerned if they got injured, if they even cut themselves. Could that have been a fatal mistake? So a lot of different changes But the big change came in the early 1900s when Abraham Flexner persuaded so many medical schools to change their curriculum and orient them directly towards using drugs to treat symptoms. So those schools flourished because they had the money to stay in business, and then they started advertising and promoting their drugs. And the other ones withered, so to speak, because they didn't have the financial support necessary. I mean, they're still around today, though. You know, the other approaches to healthcare besides allopathic medicine. But I was thinking, you know, when, you know, I'm watching doctors being trained, and then I'm watching the, I guess you would call them the physician's assistants and nurse practitioners being trained, and they're still being trained exactly the same way that they were trained when Abraham Flexner developed the curriculum to treat symptoms with drugs. So if your focus is on how to treat illness, can you have a dual focus at the same time on how to prevent illness? Because they're polar opposites. And I'm just wondering, and by the way, there is no focus in any of the medical schools about preventing illness, except from the standpoint they might suggest that you shouldn't smoke. You know, I'm not sure what else they might say from a standpoint of preventing illness, what you should do. What do you think they might else might be telling their students?
They're educating their students to recommend a low-fat diet. They're educating their specialists with regard to blood sugar anomalies. And they are having those students say that artificial sweeteners are fine for your blood sugar. They have no calories and they won't disturb your blood sugar. They are denying that what you are choosing to eat actually has an impact on how your body's going to work. The other part of it is during the treatment of a serious illness and possibly the patient is losing weight and is very confused about what to do to maintain a healthy level of weight, they're told, well, eat anything. Have some ice cream every night. And if you want to eat a quart of ice cream, that's fine. And, of course, that's like this triple assault to the immune function of a patient. High sugar, hormonally and antibiotically contaminated dairy. So, yes, it's very high in calories, and it may very well keep weight on, but the weight will not be a type of weight that's supportive of how the body is meant to function. Dr. Slavin?
When you were, you know, as you were talking, you know, I don't know why the picture of politics came to mind from the standpoint of you listen to a politician speak, but he's really a puppet, and the puppeteer are the special interest groups and lobbyists that are basically telling him what to say. And in a way, I think healthcare providers are in a similar situation. They may not realize how they're being indoctrinated in the what's being taught in school. But when they stop thinking for themselves and just recite what they've been told in school, even though it doesn't make sense, and I don't know why they continue to maintain the same beliefs, because if they would just do a little research on their own, and I'll see if I can give you a good example. And maybe we can figure out or understand where they're coming from a little bit. You read story after story, and perhaps, you know, we had a guest earlier in the week, a very accredited individual, praising the use of statin drugs despite all the risky side effects. But he neglected to say that you can get the same or better results with regard to your cholesterol levels by changing your diet. I mean, that's been shown. But you know what they say, what they're told is, yeah, we know that. You know, they'll say, yeah, we know that if people would just change their diet and lifestyle, they can definitely make the necessary improvements in their cholesterol levels. But we know they're not going to do that. So they might as well just take the drug and forget about improving their lifestyle. So, and I think that's the approach across the board. We know that people, if they exercise, that's going to reduce their risk of many illnesses, but we know they're not going to exercise. So why should we even bother talking about it? After all, what we're doing is we're selling these drugs. Sometimes they're called wonder cures, but they're not, you know, the real wonder is if they cure anything, but they don't. And so I think that, and the people that listen to this program, I think, understand that the real path to health is through improved lifestyle. The doctors come out and the other healthcare professionals come out praising the virtues of vaccinations. You know, my feeling is show me the proof, show me the evidence. You know, all we hear is, it's a good idea, and the flu vaccine is a perfect example. They cite these statistics, and then when you dig down and try and find the real statistics, either you can't find them, or they don't match up with the fear that they've created regarding that. So, and I think it's unfortunate that the special interests are getting in the way, because the special interests and the interests of the public that the healthcare providers are serving apparently do not coincide. Because you would think, as a healthcare provider, why do they call that a healthcare provider? They're not providing health; they're providing disease care. And what we really want is healthcare providers, people that help to maintain the health of the individual. Even the name Health Maintenance Organization, I think people forget that HMO stands for Health Maintenance Organization. That's misleading, because they do nothing to maintain health. They're doing the same mainstream medicine approach, giving out drugs, putting people in the hospital instead of working hard to keep people out of the hospital. And granted, there are a lot of people out there that don't pay any attention to their health. And you probably, there's nothing you can do about it, but I think more and more people want to be given the information and the understanding of what it takes and what they're doing wrong and what it takes to make the corrections so they can improve their health. Janet, time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about the evolution of healthcare in this country, probably beginning in the early 1900s when Abraham Flexner, in the employ of Rockefeller and Carnegie, who purchased the pharmaceutical companies, and they had to figure out a way to sell their products. So they figured out, well, we're going to change the curriculum in the medical schools so that instead of focusing on why people get sick and what it takes to get them better, they focused on the chief complaint. In other words, what symptom does someone have, and then what drug can we use to treat that symptom? Before that, that really was not the focus. Clearly, people were getting sick, and you tried to get them well, but you also tried to prevent illness. And I think prevention of illness, even to this day, is not emphasized as much as it could be. What's your take on that, Janet?
The thing is, I think that the doctors and physician's assistants are taught one approach fits all of their different patients. And rather than acknowledging the individual and where the doors might be open for that individual to talk about dietary change or to talk about exercise, the viewpoint is just the same approach to each person. And I think that that's one of the primary areas where standard medical practice goes wrong. I think that you're dealing with so many different personalities, and there are different ways of creating a motivational background so that the patient would actually get excited about what the potential outcome would be based on making a change either in physical movement or dietary options. And the thing is, many times, and I know that you've experienced this as well, Dr. Slavin, many times there have been patients responding to suggestions that there be a dietary change by saying, okay, well, let's try eliminating wheat or gluten and dairy and seeing where you go. And then the patient gets very negative, possibly, and very concerned about, okay, well, what am I going to eat? Because I've been having my wheat-based cereal. I've been having milk on top of the cereal. I've been having a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch. I've been having a cheeseburger for dinner. How am I going to eat? And that the changes seem overwhelming. And that's kind of where I come in, that we'll go one meal at a time. Sometimes we just start with drinks, making a change in what the patient is drinking every day. And then, okay, so which meal are you most attached to? And we're not going to change that for you right now. What we're going to change are the other meals that you don't have such an emotional investment in. And we'll make the changes in those meals. And when you see how your body works differently, when you see how well you feel with those changes, that's the motivation to understand and identify and understand the substances in your meals that may be contributing to a symptom or a health challenge that the person has, and then kind of is a snowball effect. And it doesn't happen overnight. There are some people who are very, very motivated to make changes, don't want to take any medication, and so they will make some of those dramatic eliminations. But step by step by step, and not treating every person just like the patient before and the patient before that, but to individualize the conversation. And I know, Dr. Slavin, you talk about it all the time. How much time do the doctors have to talk to their patients?
I think, you know, and we hear the debate about health care and how expensive it is. I never hear any responsibility shifted to the patients regarding health. And I think that would be a good thing. If they incentivize the patient to take better care of themselves, and the incentive would be lower insurance premiums, you know, if you can show that you're, you know, going out of your way, maybe there should be a credit. Of course, this will never happen, but how about a tax credit for buying organic food, because that's going to improve your health better than buying processed foods, you know, create those kinds of incentives. Of course, that'll never happen. But
let's think about how improved health would be from so many different viewpoints if we fed our children better in school. The quality of the school lunches is pitiful. And for any families that really are focused on supporting their children's immune function, energy, sleep, well-being, they send food from home for their children because there are no healthy options in school. And so when we finally acknowledge that what you're eating, what you're putting into your mouth makes a very big difference with regard to how your body is functioning, and not only your body and your brain, we would be much more willing to choose health-supporting foods. Dr. Slavin?
That would be true, but unfortunately, the types of food sold in schools, the vending machines, are a way of marketing by those food companies. Remember, we had yesterday we talked about the big company, the parent companies for all these products. You probably have only about maybe three or four major parent food companies, and then all the brand names that we're familiar come under them. And they're controlling the food supply. And the one thing they all have in common is that that many of the ingredients in their products are not food. You know, you're putting a lot of non-food ingredients in their products. And that's what we're trying to help people understand. Read the label. They don't really serve any health benefit to you. And I think if we could say just one thing, consider that everything you eat is going to play a role in your body. It could be positive, it could be negative, but it's not going to be neutral. So you really want to consider putting things in that are going to make a positive effect on your body, a positive effect towards your health. But I feel strongly about, you know, empowering the individual. There's nothing more valuable to an individual than their health. And most people take their health for granted until they get sick, and then they really realize just how valuable it was, and they wish they had paid more attention. You know what so many patients say, if I had known I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself. And that's the message we want to get out to people. It's a difficult one because you really want to start taking care of your health at the earliest age possible, which probably starts, you got to blame your mother, because she's in charge at the beginning. So you want to take advantage of having parents that pay attention as well. Janet, I was just looking at a timeline of vaccines and infectious diseases, and you can understand how it's so easy to be convinced that that's the best approach. You know, when they came out with certain vaccines and certain antibiotics, and you saw these miraculous cures, that did a lot to promote mainstream medicine. But you really have to look at it in the context of what it does. It's not, you know, because you think, well, mainstream medicine has the answers to everything, when actually they have the answers to very few things. If they had the answers, we wouldn't see so much illness. We wouldn't be spending more money than any other, than the rest of the world combined on treating illness. We wouldn't be 40th in life expectancy in the world if we were doing such a good job. And the difference between what we do in other countries is that we ignore our health and treat disease. And we're just saying, I know the listeners to this program have a different mindset, but I think when it comes to the general population, we're still in the minority there. And then we want to be told, you know, or at least being told or educated in an understanding of, you know, why we get sick and how so much of it is under our control. And it's not something that, well, if you're lucky, you get to stay healthy, and if you're unlucky, you get sick. Because I think a lot of people may take that position as well. And it isn't until you get older and you start experiencing things, and then you look back and you see how you might have done things a different way, and that may have contributed to it, because the body is so resilient. You see that in young people, how they don't get enough sleep, how they don't eat properly, and yet they function to a high level, but eventually it catches up. And it's very difficult to undo 40 years of poor health management of your body with a drug. It just doesn't happen. So we want to alert people to this. One of the ways of alerting people that they didn't have years ago are just some of the tests. For example, could you believe that even to this day, 25% of adults may have certain vitamin deficiencies that are potentially life-threatening, and yet, you know, why is that? So I think when we come back from the upcoming break, we're going to talk about specifics here, but I think the overall take-home here is can't take your health for granted. It's something you got to pay attention to every day, and the payoff is you pay attention to your health. You'll get a return on that investment. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We were talking about, even to this day, there are deficiencies in the diets of people that may even be life-threatening. And very rarely do you even hear some of them being spoken about. And I'm now specifically referring to vitamin B12. It's not an expensive supplement. But it's an essential nutrient by our bodies, required for energy, you know, blood formation. You know, we heard of B12 deficiencies associated with certain types of anemia. It's has neurological impacts if you're deficient. Could be even associated with cognitive dysfunction. You know, some people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease really have B12 deficiencies. So it can really be a factor. And statistically these days, they say 25% of Americans may be deficient in vitamin B12. I don't think all the people deficient in B12 are vegetarians, because they're the group that, by the nature of their dietary choices, risk being B12 deficient. But I'm your host, Jolie Root. You know, everybody has that potential if you're not eating a healthy diet. And it's so easy in this country not to eat a healthy diet. And what's my definition of an unhealthy diet, I guess, would be eating a lot of processed foods and not eating foods in its original state. How would you generalize a healthy diet, Janet?
Okay, and see, this is where you come into that individuality again. I'm very much a proponent of eat right for your blood type. Again, it isn't 100% for every person, but one of the things that I suggest to people is at least learn the avoids for your particular blood type. And you might think about, after you've learned those avoids, if you have an illness, you stay away from those foods and food categories 100%. If you are very, very healthy, no specific challenges to your health and well-being, then if you go off the straight and narrow 10, 15% of the time, not a big deal. The other thing is, I very, very much am a supporter of being very educated about what foods are very likely to be genetically modified and avoiding those at all costs. Then the way that you can do that for the most part is to choose organic foods. And so many people say to me, oh, but it's so expensive when you're trying to eat 100% organic food choices. And yes, that's true. So some of the things that are most important to choose organic would be animal source food choices. So you want to make sure that those are absolutely organic. And so, again, those are the expensive ones. And I say, all right, you have small servings of those very expensive food categories and a wide range of choices of vegetables. And some of the vegetables are more contaminated than others with pesticides, fertilizers, and some of them are genetically modified. But to the best extent possible, Fill your plates and your meals with vegetables, all types of vegetables, and stay away from things that come essentially in a package that have multiple ingredients. You choose single ingredient foods, and in that way, you're much more likely to avoid preservatives and contaminants and flavor enhancers, artificial colors, and so on. So that's kind of the basis, Dr. Slavin, of how I would start off with a health-supporting diet.
All right, so I want to get back to specifically B12. We said that B12, and I think most people know this. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you run the risk of being B12 deficient because B12 is not found readily in plants. So if you're not eating animal products, you run the risk. Now, where is B12 mostly found? In animal tissues, foods like beef, lamb, snapper, venison, salmon, shrimp, scallops, poultry, and eggs. And believe it or not, the few plants that are sources of B12 or that you might read about are actually B12 analogs. What that means is they have components that resemble B12, which will actually block the absorption of regular B12, and they may really interfere more. It's not enough to be within the range for B12 to be healthy. I think you want to be optimally, to have optimal levels of B12, you want it to be on the high end, just to be on the safe side. Remember, B12 is one of those water-soluble vitamins, so they really don't talk about B12 overdoses. At least I haven't heard of that, because they're water-soluble. Any excess, your body won't hold on to it. So you need B12 for proper digestion, for a healthy nervous system, for normal nerve growth and development, for the formation of red blood cells, proper circulation. It plays a role in adrenal hormone production in your immune system. It supports a female reproductive health in pregnancy. Essential for feelings of well-being and mood regulation. Also, mental clarity, concentration, memory functions, physical, emotional, and mental energy. Now, I can tell you, the way doctors are trained, they only think of B12 deficiencies when a patient comes in that might be anemic and with a certain type of anemia where the red blood cells are very large, and you think, oh, okay, macrocytic anemia could be a B12 deficiency. But I think we have to expand the possibilities of B12 deficiencies when people complain of, and this is the common one, poor concentration or poor memory or lack of energy. So you need to probably need to be tested more. So some of the early warning signs of B12 deficiency, and before I get to this, I want you to think about this. Woman goes for a mammogram and has breast cancer, discovered on a mammogram. Do you think she had no signs of that her body was in perfect health 6 months before? You know, that's what I want you to think about. When you develop symptoms, that's when your body reached such a severe level of dysfunction that now the symptoms develop. What we're trying to do is create the understanding or at least the appreciation that minor symptoms are a reflection of dysfunction. And that's when you want to start being aware of the possibilities that may be occurring. So some of the earliest symptoms of B12 deficiency, and again, these are symptoms. So can you have a B12 deficiency before the symptoms arise? Absolutely. That's why you have to do testing. But mental fogginess, memory problems, mood swings, lack of motivation, fatigue and lack of energy, muscle weakness, even tingling in your extremities might represent a B12 deficiency. Now, can you have other things wrong at the same time? Absolutely. Now, research also shows that B12 deficiency, we mentioned cognitive problems, meaning, you know, your mind isn't working properly. And when an adult gets that, they call it dementia. They might even call it Alzheimer's disease. But it could be a B12 deficiency mistakenly diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease. So those are some of the things you have to know. Even B12 deficiencies may increase the risk of cancer. But a lot of people think, well, you know, I eat a diet that shouldn't be B12 deficient, or I'm having cereal. I guess, Janet, vegetarians can have cereal that might be fortified with B12. But I just want to put this out there for our listeners. You need adequate amounts of hydrochloric acid. That's the acid in your stomach for proper amounts of B12. The use of antacids and other anti-ulcer drugs are going to increase the potential of B12 deficiencies. And one of the drugs that's being used more and more, and I notice this in patients that come in, is metformin. And metformin has a lot of different names, like Glucophage, Glumetza, Ryomet. They use for diabetes or pre-diabetes. And they may reduce your B12 absorption through interference with calcium metabolism. Calcium is another necessary component in your body's ability to absorb B12. And a recent study shows that the longer a person with type 2 diabetes takes metformin, and the higher the dose they're taking, the greater the risk of B12 deficiency. Now, there are other medications that can play a role in B12 deficiency. They include antibiotics, anti-cancer medications, anti-gout medications, blood pressure medicines, Parkinson's medicines, birth control pills, cholesterol-lowering drugs. So I think if you're on a drug, you know, part of your routine evaluation should be to check for your B12 levels and to make sure that they're adequate. And I know they're not being checked often enough. Janet, what do you think?
Okay, critically important, and just a reminder that you do need to be very well aware of maintaining that proper balance between B12 and folate. And again, you want to look for the methylfolate version. You want to make sure, if possible, to get away from the folic acid, the folate being much more active within your body and much more able to maintain that critical balance between B12 and folate. The other part of it is, remember, the B-complex vitamins work all together. So you want a very, very nice overall B-complex as a support to the additional supplementation that you may be doing with B12 and folate. The other detail that you need to look for would be, you're looking for methylcobalamin, and to a certain extent want to be sure to avoid cyanocobalamin. The last suggestion would be, make sure that the B12 that you are using is a sublingual version. So you can put it under your tongue, put it on your tongue, and usually the dose would be between 5 and 10,000 micrograms per day. And so that's the complete picture that people need to keep in mind when they are supplementing with B12.
All right. More on B12 when we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We'll be right back.
Hi. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking specifically now about B12 deficiencies, but I just want you to consider that what we say about B12 might be appropriate for other nutrients as well. And usually what I find is when we do testing for various nutrients, you never see people deficient in one nutrient in isolation. It's usually a signal that something is interfering with their nutrient levels, either because their diet doesn't contain it, or they're taking drugs that might interfere with it, or some other lifestyle habit that may affect their levels. And here's an interesting one, because it's one I hadn't seen before. But according to recent research, if you drink four or more cups of coffee a day, you are likely to experience a 15% reduction in B vitamins compared to people who don't drink coffee. Had you heard of that one, Janet?
I had not, but in general, coffee would be considered kind of a nutrient robber. That if you were consuming coffee, it had the potential to so stimulate your immune system that a lot of the nutrients just kind of got used up much more quickly.
It could also be that coffee may have a diuretic effect, and we know that diuretics can deplete nutrients as well, especially the water-soluble ones. Here's another one, infection with H. pylori. Now, your doctor doesn't tell you. When you go to the doctor and he tests you for H. pylori, he doesn't say, we better check your B12 level. He says, take these antibiotics. But H. pylori is a common, well, we know is associated with stomach ulcers, but can result in B12 deficiency. H. pylori bacteria damage the cells of the stomach which produce intrinsic factor. That's the other necessary component for your body to absorb B12, and that may be the connection there. Patients, and here's a big one, and I've seen this consistently in this group of patients, and those are the ones with gastric bypass surgery. Their ability to absorb nutrients, particularly vitamin B12, is going to be affected. So in those people, you really should be checking nutrient levels, because they're more prone to have those kinds of problems. So it's all the little things that we don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to that can affect your nutrient levels, even though you think you're eating a good diet. But if you're taking a medication, that may be interfering with it. And then checking B12 levels. You say, well, do a, your doctor orders a vitamin B12 level, and it looks like it's okay. But that really isn't the best test to determine whether you're deficient or not with vitamin B12. A better test would be the methylmalonic acid test to see if you're deficient. Now, the range from the laboratories for vitamin B12 is pretty broad. I think it goes somewhere from around 200 to 1,000 or 1,200. And I usually like to see people, in fact, I see people all the time, you know, above that range, and they're only above it. You know, they're taking, you know, their multivitamins that contain B12. So you can easily prevent it, but that's a test that you should consider if you're not taking multivitamins. Janet, you see a lot of people. Are they all taking a multivitamin?
It's very, very interesting. Some people are very, very much relying on their multis as kind of a foundation for all of their supplementation. Some people are taking such a very, very broad range of individual nutrients that they've decided to skip, not entirely a multivitamin, but they might take, let's say, a month or two of multivitamins three or four times a year. Then there would be the people who are very, very focused on specific health support approaches, and they use the specific nutrients that they, through their research, have decided would be the best approach, or that they have been tested and found to be deficient in that particular nutrient. It's very, very interesting when you do that nutrient evaluation, a particular nutrient that you would never have given a second thought to actually has this very, very specific effect on the symptoms you're dealing with.
All right. Now, as we run out of time today, I just want to review some of the things that are important regarding B12, because it can affect almost every aspect of your health, and it's such an easy nutrient deficiency to correct. So, you know, again, some of the early symptoms of a possible B12 deficiency include mental fogginess and memory problems. And I'm sure that's a very common complaint among people that you come across. You may also have mood swings or a feeling of apathy or lack of motivation. And then a lot of times, people complain of fatigue or lack of energy or muscle weakness. And they like how they feel after they get their weekly B12 injection. But this is the group of people that would perhaps be more at risk of a B12 deficiency. If you're a vegan or vegetarian, if you're over 50, if you're taking antacids or anti-ulcer medication, you're taking metformin for diabetes, you're taking other drugs that might deplete your B12 stores, like birth control pills, for example. Well, you're drinking more than 4 cups of coffee a day. You have H. pylori bacterial infection. You've had weight loss surgery. Or you suffer from indigestion, and that may be a sign of poor absorption of nutrients. So if you have those, if you fall into one of those categories and you experience things like mental fogginess, B12 deficiency should be checked. Right, it's not one of the sexy vitamins out there, B12, right, Janet?
Well, okay. I think when people do discover it, it might become one of the sexy vitamins out there because people feel so fabulously wonderful after they're using B12. Dr. Slavin, do you make any recommendations about B12 injections?
Yeah, I usually don't automatically recommend it. You know, we give B12 when we do any of our IVs. It's always a component of the the various IVs we use. But normally, you know, I suggest to people that if you're taking it by mouth, you know, in a supplement form, and it does the trick, it raises your levels up adequately, which means you're able to absorb it and utilize it, that's all that should be needed. However, if a patient would ask for a B12 shot, I might ask them, have you ever had it before and how's it worked? You know, some of them actually say, well, no, I haven't had it, but somebody told me how much better they felt with it. I'll go along with that and have them get a B12 shot. There's no downside to it. And certainly a lot of people do feel better with it. Let me mention that Myers cocktail is another IV nutrient preparation that can includes vitamins and minerals. People do feel a lot better when they have it. And I think when people feel better, it's just a reflection that their bodies were deficient in these nutrients, and being within range isn't good enough. And that's, I think, is the real problem. Being in range isn't good enough.
For optimal health, you have to get the give the body the optimum levels so it can get all the nutrients that it needs. If you just keep it at the bottom level, the body may not have all that it needs to correct it. I think the ranges are clearly misleading to the doctors and the public. And unfortunately, doctors go by the lab tests more than they go by how the patient feels and responds. Janet, just a minute left.
Okay, just a minute left. And always right here on Natural Doc Radio, people are going to find out about the tests that they may have been unfamiliar with and their doctors don't talk to them about, as well as the nutrients that make a big difference in feeling better.
All right, then. I guess that wraps it up for today and this week. We'd like to thank all our listeners. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock for 1 hour. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.